Amen. The first thing that comes to my mind is I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. Welcome back. What a joy. And you look good. You look good. Brother Neely, Sister Ann, 62 years today, married. We got to celebrate that for sure. And if you could scoot over 6 feet, I'd appreciate that. So we're distant from that. Just kidding you. Man, I'm so glad to be back in the house of the Lord and Memorial Day weekend. And you got to learn to kind of crawl before you learn to walk. Walk before you learn to run. We had a great service at 8:30. And our folks were there and got up and got through the rain and made their way. And so as we're all kind of learning together this morning, and we did a little bit. We've cleaned the germs from the people that were here at 8:30, and we sprayed the pews and we wiped down all the door handles and the restrooms and did what we could. We have distanced the pew in between. And my goal today as pastor is just kind of everybody be at their own comfort level. So I think that's important. And if you get to the place where you feel crowded or something, or then you just feel free to get up and move to another area. If you're the one being vacated, don't get offended. They might be moving because of you, but God may be sparing you. They may be the one with the problem, okay? And so you just let the Lord lead and guide and all of that. If you love the Lord, say amen. All right. And to those of you watching online, we wish you were here, and we look forward to seeing you once again. And I hope and pray that it's just a powerful service in our lives. Of course, you want to blend the day. It's Memorial Day. We want to remember those that paid the ultimate price for our freedom. We live in freedom today because of the blood spilled by our fellow Americans all the way through the ages. And there ought to be a deep, heartfelt gratitude in our hearts today for their wonderful sacrifice. And at the same time, we want to honor and worship the greatest warrior to ever walk the face of the earth, who fought the greatest battle that could ever be fought on the earth, the battle for eternal life. He died, he was buried, and praise God, he rose again, and his name is Jesus Christ. And we honor him this morning. And so I thought we would begin the service with one of my favorite hymns. The title is My Savior's Love. The first line says, I stand amazed in his presence. I want you to be amazed in his presence today. Stand wherever you are, lift your voice, and let's sing about our great Savior's love this morning.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Sinner condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden. He prayed not my will, but my sorrows, even and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransom in glory, His face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of His love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Let's pray together, please. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for allowing us to come back in the house of God. It's so good to see everyone coming back to hear your word, Lord. Lord, as we begin the new way we are going in the world, Lord, we know that you are the one that never changed. We know that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, I just ask you to be with everyone today that's here. I ask you to be with the families that lost loved ones in the war, that when they went to fight, they fought for our freedom, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for that, and we thank you for them. Lord, I just know that today that you are the one that came down and you paid the ultimate price for us on the cross. That today is a day for salvation. That if anyone accepts you as their Savior, that today would be for them to be spend eternal life in heaven with you. Lord, I just ask you to be with the pastor today as he brings your word. Lord, I ask you to be with us as we turn around and wave to each other now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn around and wave to your neighbor.
Good, just to look at your face. I'm taking inventory. And man, I have missed you. I hope and pray you have missed your church family on this Memorial Day weekend and all that we have been through. I thought it only fitting today to set aside a moment and lift our voice as one people, one nation under God, and sing the first verse of the Star Spangled Banner. I hope and pray that you're moved by this and that you'll be thankful to God for our great country. Let's lift our voice. Sing with all you got.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. O'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the
feels wonderful, doesn't it? You may be seated. Just an opportunity to express ourselves this morning. And what a joy and what a delight. And so good to see. I actually think I see some faces that I don't recognize guests and visitors today. We're delighted to have you. If you were to come prior to all of this, I'd have asked you to fill out the card in front of you, but I won't ask you to do that. I will ask you, however, on the way out, stop by the welcome desk. Let us know it's your first time. Let us greet you and get some information from you so that you feel welcome and know our gratitude for having you in our service today. We have some neat things that have been going on while you've been away. Of course, we have started now our deaf ministry, and Miss Marty is in the back, and she is live on FaceTime and YouTube and wherever else it goes live, and trust that those that are deaf are able to get the gospel and the message in their own language. I look forward one day to where we have a whole section of deaf people in our church that are hearing the gospel and that ministry reaches. We believe that all people need the Lord Jesus, right? And so all need to hear it in their language. Don't know if you can notice, but if you look up into the ceiling, you see little white dots there. That's the fire sprinkler system. You always want those dots to stay there. Never do you want them not to be there. So that work is going on. They're almost finished with that. This week, they should put the pipes in the ground out on the lawn, and things that we are doing differently, and we're doing that again, and just be the family of God. Opportunity to the staff. Some of the staff is here. Some of the staff is watching online. While you have been away, the staff has been working feverishly. It's not easy to put on the services and to do all the technical part and to stay in contact with everybody, to keep the grounds. And I just want to express my gratitude as the pastor to the staff of Plantation Baptist Church. They have done a very tremendous job being faithful in this season. And I appreciate, church family, you expressing your gratitude. We're receiving emails and cards and all of those things. And so thank you, staff. And I know you're putting it out now and on the internet as well, and all the behind the scenes work. And they too have been just faithful, and I appreciate it so much. Those of you that are watching online, don't forget to take a moment and share the service now. There's few of you watching online, so you need to take that responsibility. Comment, let us know that you are watching, and we'll be glad to rejoice in all of that. I finally have some announcements. Praise God, I've been waiting to make announcements, right? So, no service Sunday night. We're not back to Sunday nights yet. Wednesday night will be open service. I'll be starting a series in the book of Esther. We are not having children's programs right now. We do look forward to getting back to those. Hopefully, we'll be able to do that very soon. Families are sitting with families right now, so I understand that. Of course, all the services will be streamed. We do have the fellowship hall open. I'm not, the TVs are there. It's being piped into there. There's plenty of room to distance in there. If the kids need to get up and run around, or the old people need to get up and run around, whoever needs to get up and run around, over there you get up and run around, okay? And, that will be just fine. We are looking forward to June 7th during our graduation for our Christian school. Church family, I'll ask you to watch that online. The families are going to invite a bunch of guests, and we'll need the space there. But that is June 7th at 6 o'clock. Next week, we'll have our announcement about camp and all that is going on there. The camp right now is still open, about 50-50. We had 75 kids that were going to go, 75, 80 kids. We're probably at about 40 now that are willing to go. That's fine. Everybody has to do what they feel comfortable in doing. And I can respect that and appreciate that. And we will have an announcement, going forward next Sunday as to how that will come into play. And praise the Lord. God has been good, and God has been faithful to us. And I one of the things I've enjoyed through this season is we've upped our social media presence. If you are friends of the church on Facebook, and I don't know about Instagram, I don't get there often, but Facebook, you see that the church is putting out pictures and verses and encouragement. Some of them are funny, and some of them are spiritual. Well, all of them are spiritual, but they're spiritually funny. And one of the things that went out this week was the reminder that of how faithful our God is. And they did not know that I was going to sing that hymn and had that hymn planned for when we came back together. And so I wanted to take a moment and just have us in unity sing the great hymn of God's faithfulness entitled, Great is Thy Faithfulness. I want you to do all three verses. I want you to be able to listen and be ministered to by the words. I hope and pray that as you sing this, you worship God and thank Him for His faithfulness and that is new every day. Stand if you would. Let's lift our voice. Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have need at Thy hands hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand has provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to Thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Amen. Be seated if you would. I don't want to keep you standing for our next part of our service. We always have our prayers to the people and our offering followed by our special. Our special today is a patriotic special. When I'm done with our prayer, you will see that there will be a video played. And the video will be the introduction to the special that Brother Rod will be singing. And this is in honor of the day and in honor of those that have paid the ultimate sacrifice in remembering that, lest we never forget that. And I trust that it will move you. I wanted just to take a moment, and I know I'm public, I'm going around the world, but I just want to take a moment and thank the church family. Nobody wants to touch anything right now. Matter of fact, in the back on your way out, we have some New Testament Bibles. They're called Heroes Bibles. And these are great little gifts to give to those that are in the military or military families or veterans. And they may not be sanitized, but they're sanctified, okay? So feel free to grab one and touch it and to put it out there. But nobody wants to touch anything, so we don't use the hymn books, and we didn't do a bulletin. I say all that to say this. Going into coronavirus, in our general fund at our church, we were probably $30,000 behind year-to-date in our general fund. Slow start to 2020. When coronavirus hit, you know, as a pastor, you kind of begin to think, okay, Lord, where are we going to go? We're trusting you. And people started losing their jobs, and so on. And boy, that was kind of a battle for your pastor. And so we just stopped and prayed and amen, and just kind of made sure that God knew our trust was in him. And I just want to thank the church family. As I come to you today, not only are we on budget, we're probably about $7,000 or $8,000 over budget in our general fund through all of the coronavirus situation. It's been fantastic to just know as a pastor that your people have a heart for God. And money's been coming in electronically, comes in through the mail. Sometimes it comes in through the door slots. It's the greatest treasure map game I've ever played when I come in this building and turn everything over. But, you know, that doesn't happen if God's people aren't obedient. And so I just want to say, church family, thank you. I also want you to know, thank you for your prayers. People have walked some deep waters. I was at the graveside yesterday, and Audrey's here of her mother that had passed. And, of course, Jimmy was in our 8:30 service. For those of you that know Jimmy, he's grown a mustache. He looks good. Mama never let him have a mustache. He's got a mustache now. And Mama's with Jesus, and she can't do anything about it. And he'll tell you that. Mama's with Jesus. And he's walked through some things. Juan Vilches, got to pray for Juan Vilches. He's in the hospital. They did a medical procedure to deal with a cancerous tumor that affected the tumor in a negative way. They'll know this week if he's got to have a major surgery. Iva Bartholomew's had a test come back. She needs our prayers. Others that have lost loved ones. Erwin Molina's mother passed, so we're praying for the Molina family. And we've been through deep waters and we've been through the fire, but God is faithful and he has not forsaken us. And so I'm excited to just continue and take the name of Jesus with us. Having said all that, I want to have our prayer, and then I want you to listen to the special and let it prepare your heart for the preaching of the Word of God. Heavenly Father God, we come today corporately for the first time in a long time with presence this morning in the auditorium to the throne of grace. I know we come there individually all the time, but what a joy it is to come corporately, both with those that are present, those that are watching. As Plantation Baptist Church, with our friends, our guests, our neighbors. And we just come publicly to tell you, praise your holy name for being the true and living God. There's none other but thee, none beside thee. Even before the service, people were expressing to me the wonderful ways that you've been working in their lives and just miracles that have been happening. And even though we're living in days of change and unprecedented days, what a joy it is to know that our God does not change. And so we thank you, God. You've been so faithful. And Father, I pray that you'd continue to watch over and protect and guide and provide, knowing from your church that we're trusting you as the great shepherd, that we should not want, and that you would lead us beside the still waters. Lord, the people that are burdened today and need help today, I pray lift them. I think of those that need the comfort of the lost loved one. The God of all comfort will comfort their heart. Those that are in a hospital, they need the touch of the great physician. I pray, great physician, that you would move and that you would just do your perfect and infinite will and wisdom in those lives. Lord, I pray you'd help me preach today with power and authority. God, that our eyes would be open and our hearts would be stirred, and that we would leave here focused and God motivated to make sure that we are about our Father's business. Thank you for our guests that are here today. What a delight to see them. I hope they're impressed with Jesus and Jesus alone today. Lord, the video will remind us of the sacrifice, and the song will make sure that we never forget those men and those women. I need you, God, to use their cause to work in our hearts for the ultimate cause of the glory of the Lord Jesus. Receive this offering for your glory now. In your name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, play our video if you would, and God bless you.
Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Freedom and the dignity of the individual have been more available and assured here than in any other place on earth. The price for this freedom at times has been high, but we have never been unwilling to pay that price. The sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom.
Today we pray that those who lie here have found peace with their Creator, and we resolve that their sacrifice will always be remembered by a grateful nation. The fallen give silent witness to the price of our liberty, and our nation honors them this day and every day.
Our freedom tell the story of our heroes. On the pages of their lives, we see the dream that every heart could live that they've been promised. A life of hope and freedom in this land of liberty. Defenders of the red, white, and blue, we will always remember you. We will never forget your sacrifice, the way that you lived, all you gave when you died. There's no greater love on earth than this. We never forget. Oh, glory flies in honor of our heroes, as she waves her stars and stripes in bravery. No terror of the battle will deny her. She stands for hope and freedom. She stands for liberty. Defenders of the red, white, and blue, we will always remember you. We will never forget your sacrifice, the way that you live, all you gave when you died. There's no greater love on earth than this. We will never forget. Oh, and freedom is more than just a dream. It's a life that God intended for all who would believe. We will never forget your sacrifice, the way that you lived, all you gave when you died. There's no greater love on earth than this. no greater love on earth than this. There's no greater love on earth than this. We will never forget. We will never forget.
You know, it's one of the great Bible stories of the Bible. It's one of the great victories of the Bible. It's one of the great motivating moments that is in the Word of God. And that is the story of David and Goliath. I submit to you that it's not just a story for a children's Sunday school hour, but it is a truth for the people of God. And I asked the Lord to direct me for this morning, and God brought me to a text today that I'd like to preach to you on this Memorial Day. Take your Bible, if you would, and find chapter 17, verse number 23. We'll begin our reading, and we'll read six verses as our text. We jump right into the middle of the event, and David is speaking here, and as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel. It's important. Is he come up? And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest, that's David's eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? With whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. David said, what have I now done? If you have an ink pen or you have a highlighter, would you underline that last phrase? That's the title of my message. David's great question. Is there not a cause? Now I want to preach to you on this Memorial Day weekend and our first service back together, a message entitled, Is There Not a Cause? I submit to you that this question asked by David thousands of years ago is as relevant today as it was asked back then. Especially do we find relevance in this question on a Memorial Day weekend as we remember those that have given their lives for the cause of freedom. I submit to you that the answer or response to David's question, is there not a cause, is there is still a cause. And just like in David's day, I want to point out to the church today David's question. His question of is there not a cause was a twofold objective or concern in his question. His question represents a national cause and a God cause. And David was concerned both about his nation, and about the cause of his God. I would submit to you today, church family, that this question should still reign in our hearts. I would submit to you today on this Memorial Day weekend that the people of God, the church, the believers, should still reckon the cause. For there is a great cause in our nation today. And we should always, as the people of God, reckon the cause of our God. I stand here before you today as your pastor to preach a message from my heart. And I stand here today with a burden in my heart. I had a couple of words written down that I scratched out before I got to the word burden. I had the word worry. But worry represents anxiety. I'm not anxious today to a negative position. Pastor Reuben preached a great message Wednesday night on the biblical medication for anxiety. I don't know about you, but I believe our God is alive and seated on the throne. I wrote the word concern, but I'm not sure the word concern goes far enough today. You know, you can be concerned about something and still do nothing about it. I think sometimes we hide behind our concern. Well, I'm concerned, and as if concern should be enough to the void of action. So in scratching those two words out, I stand here today to let you know that I'm burdened for our nation today, and I'm burdened for the cause of Christ today. And I'm asking God today through this message that He would open up our eyes together and let us see a cause we're standing for. I'm asking that God would open up our eyes to let us see and stir our hearts to get involved and to do something about the cause. David had two major burdens that motivated his question. Is there not a cause? The question is asked in response and given in response to what I believe to be something that is designed to intimidate, something that is designed to protect a motive, something that is designed to keep people from standing up, something that was designed to keep David from speaking up. And I think it is something that the enemy uses even today to keep God's people from speaking up and following a cause. And that is severe criticism. I believe we live in days of unprecedented criticism. Everywhere you look in the media, everywhere you go in community or in circles, you find that everybody has become a critic. I should get an amen there, right? Severe criticism is what I believe that the enemy brings to anyone that takes a stand. I would submit to you that people who effect change, people who make a difference, people that see God do great things, are people who can handle criticism. I believe that if we're not careful, as the church of God, we have become weak in our ability to handle the criticism of the world. And the criticism of the world is not going to go away, it's only going to intensify. And I believe that in the weakness of God's people, if we're not careful, we're wilting under severe criticism. And I think that the people of God ought to have a love and a burden for their nation. I think the people of God ought to have a love and a burden for the cause of Jesus Christ. Eliab David's oldest brother, you remember him. Samuel was sent to the house of Jesse to anoint a king. And Jesse brought in all of the children that he thought would be a king. And God looked at Eliab and said, not him. Not him. God knew, looking on the heart, man looking on the outward appearance. There was a reason that Eliab could not be king. Because there's a verse about David that said, even as a child, he was a man after God's own heart. Eliab being refused the kingship. And there was a reason. And Eliab is exposing his agenda here. He's exposing his inability to be a leader for a cause. He's exposing his inability to walk and live by faith. In response to severe criticism, David says, is there not a cause? I would submit to you today that as the people of God, we should be concerned about our nation. I have the wonderful privilege to pastor people from all over the world. Every any given Sunday, we can have over 30-some nations that are represented in the attendance of Plantation Baptist Church. Many of us are citizens. Some are here and they've immigrated and they're on green cards, and some are working to get their citizenship, and we understand that. Sometimes in our humanity, even within our nation, we feel division and divisiveness. If they were to poll our country today, usually most of the polls show that we are divided. If you were to break down even the membership of our church, it's divided between Republican, Democrat, and Independents. I'm always very, very careful when I tread political waters because many of our folks are of different opinions and different directions and different things. And as a pastor, you have to be very careful. But I would submit to you, whether you are a Republican, a Democrat, or an Independent, if you're a citizen of our country, you're an American first. And there should be a national unity as Americans where we want to see our nation blessed. We may have different paths to that blessing, and we may have different ideas. And we may fiercely debate them and communicate them. But at the end of the day, we are united as Americans. And all of us as Americans ought to love our nation. And we ought to desire for it to know success. And to be blessed and bountiful and safe. And we celebrate a day where those that believed in this cause gave their life. To God be the glory for them. As a believer, I know some things about blessing and success. I know that the Bible says righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. If our nation is going to be exalted by God, then our nation needs to know righteousness. I also know that Solomon wrote that blessed is the nation. God is the Lord. Church family, we should be burdened about our nation. Church family, we should have a love for our nation. And we should have a desire that our nation be blessed by our God. You ought to be a good citizen. Those of you that are watching, you should be doing what you need to be doing to bless our nation. We should not be criminal in our behavior. Delinquent in our response. It ought to matter to us how our nation fares. It ought to matter to us that our poor have something to eat, that are mistreated are cared for, that those that are victimized, those that are punished. We ought to desire that our nation knows peace, joy. And it is not time for the church to bury its head in neglect of our great nation. David was burdened for for his nation. They were standing there in defeatism, and I'll show you this in a moment. And David said, is there not a cause nationally for me to do something? I would submit to you that there is a cause in our nation today for the church to do something to help our nation. David also had a godly cause. He wanted the Lord to be honored. He wanted righteousness to be exalted. It's interesting how David goes about this. When you look at the national concern that David has, it's very much like the burden that we share today. When you come to verse number 1, a war had been engaged against the nation of Israel. It wasn't Israel attacking the Philistines. The Philistines had set the war array against the nation of Israel. The Philistines had a champion. He was intimidating. The war was being dictated on their terms. Defeatism had begun to set in. And if you look at verse number 11, I will show you what I believe to be the similarity of our nation today. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly, what class that is here. I've been waiting to do that for weeks now. Hallelujah. Afraid was the word. Look at verse 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. I submit to you that our nation today is very similar to the nation of Israel that David is reflecting. And David has a burden for that, for his nation to this degree, and the church ought to have a burden for our nation at this degree. Our nation today is gripped by fear. Not only is our nation gripped by fear, but our world has been gripped by fear. Fear is a powerful influencer. Even God knows the power of fear, for he said that the whole duty of man was to fear God and keep his commandments. Solomon said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I would submit to you that you could read about our nation that it's been sore afraid. And really and truthfully, when you reduce the fear down, the world's afraid to die. They're not afraid to get sick. They're afraid to die. Sickness is a step toward death. I don't want to die today. I don't want to die tomorrow. But I'm not afraid to die. And the longer that I'm in the Word, and the more I stand by the graveside of the believers that go on before us, the more peace grows in my heart. Now, if you try to kill me, I'm going to try to kill you first. And if I get sick, I'm going to go to the doctor. But when I die, absent from the body, present with the Lord, the whole world's gripped by fear. They're afraid to die. Pastor, while we have you here, can we ask you what you think about what's going on? Sure. Pastor, are you scared in these days? No, I'm not scared in these days. I'm sobered in these days. I'm cautious, I'm careful, I'm respectful. I'm respectful of COVID-19, I don't want to get it. I hurt for those that have died from it, their families. We've had folks in our church affected by it. I take precautions, I'm careful, I'm a good steward. I measure what I'm doing by faith, not by fear. I don't put my mask on because I'm scared out of my mind. I put my mask on just because I feel like it's what I want to do. Not everybody feels that way. It's fine. You have to operate by faith. It's the way you want to. If you were to ask me what I think is going on behind the scenes, here's what I think is going on behind the scenes. On my calendar, on my refrigerator at our house, I'm turned this way because this is the wall the refrigerator is on. Beverly always hangs this little calendar. She gets one every year. And she writes birthdays and certain things on that calendar. And at the end of every month, it always seems like I show up where that calendar is and I just flip the page. If you ask me what I think is going on behind the scenes, I will tell you, I think God has flipped a page on his calendar. What do you mean by that? I mean that I believe on this page, God is allowing the mystery of iniquity to work a little stronger. And I want you to be sure that you understand that the devil does not operate on his timetable. He operates as God allows him to operate. I don't believe since 1948 has anything more drastic happened on the calendar of God leading toward the end times than what we're experiencing right now. The whole world has been affected. When you think about end times, you think about the whole world. I think the mystery of iniquity has begun to work, and you're reading and hearing now in the media and in the conversations things that are written in the Word of God about the end times. They won't be able to buy and sell without a mark. You can't buy and sell without a mask. Try it. They're talking about tracing. You understand in the end times, there will be no churches in the tribulation. Matter of fact, if you ask me, the mystery of iniquity in shutting down the churches, they're running a test. They being the evil one, not they being a human, they being the evil one as to the absence of churches. And when there's no longer any church, there will be independent witnesses. We're told there will be two. There'll be 144,000. But those believers that come to the Christ will be hunted down like dogs, and they will be traced, and they'll know where they are. And they will find them, and they will murder them in the streets. All of this will happen in the tribulation age. I want to take a moment here and just let you breathe a second and say, thank God we're saved and we won't be here. But the mystery of iniquity is moving. And it ain't the devil you got to worry about. It's the timetable of God you got to worry about. Because God has flipped his page. And I don't know, somewhere on this page, you better look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Wow. The world is gripped by fear. Now notice what happens in our story. It is David in verse number 26 that brings the solution to their fear. In verse number 26, the Bible says, and David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the who class, living God? Now, when you go back up to verse number 25, when the men are talking, or the nation is talking, there's no mention of God. It just says, and the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up surely to defy Israel? It was David that brought God into the nation's fear. I submit to you that it ought to be the church of God that has the responsibility to bring Christ into the situation of our national fear. There is no answer to fear apart from the person of Jesus Christ. I don't feel safe because the death rate is going down or the hospitalization rates are going down. I feel safe because Jesus is alive. Well, I don't feel safe because I wear a mask or I use the hand sanitizer. I do those things. But that is because Jesus is my physician and my protector. And there is no greater antidote to fear than the person of Jesus Christ. And what I'm afraid of is that the church is shrinking when we need to be moving. And we've been intimidated by severe criticism. And we're not injecting the Lord Jesus into our nation's fear. Was he ridiculed? Absolutely. Was he alone at first? Did they make fun of him? Yes. Did they deny him? Yes. Was he right? Yeah. David had a burden for his nation. He saw that fear had brought about defeatism. Fear in our nation is bringing about depression, and discouragement, and disdain. And people are all looking for help and hope. I submit to you, there is a cause for the Church of Jesus Christ to bring Jesus Christ to the fear of our nation. That's your job. That's how you should be working. David, in his response, was about his father's business. Church, politics are not, nor have they ever been, nor should they ever be, the main concern of the church. Politics are not our main concern. When David asked that question, is there not a cause? Really and truthfully, if you go back to verse 17, David had been sent to the battle by his father. Ultimately, David could say to Eliab, buddy, brother, I'm here because our nation needs it. I'm here because our God is being defied, but I'm here because our father sent me. Well, I read in the book of Matthew that our Father, through His Son, has sent His church into the world to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think we're more consumed about politics than we are about our Father's business. We need to be reminded about that. David's second concern was God. If you notice in verse number 41, when David meets Goliath, it's a fascinating conversation. I missed this prior to my studies. The Bible says, and the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? Now watch this. And the Philistine cursed David by his who? God's small g. Even the Philistine knew this was God versus God. I submit to you that we are living in a day when it really is God versus God. Praise God, we know which God wins. And God versus God is capital G, small g. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 4 says, the God of this world, small g, hath blinded the eyes and minds of the peoples of the world, keeping them from the truth. Goliath, through intimidation, Goliath trying to exalt himself over David, tried to win the battle before the battle was ever fought. I would submit to you that Satan is trying to beat the church before the battle's ever been fought. And many times he wins through intimidation. He wins through grand exaltation. He wins through severe criticism that keeps the people of God from doing what our God has told us to do. Is there not a cause? I love David's response in verse 45. It's powerful. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. My friend David said, there is no other name. There is no other name that with power than the name of Jesus Christ. And I submit to you that the power that was in the name of God back then is the same power that's in God's name today. What we need is the people of God to believe in the power of the name of Jesus. It's interesting. Look at verse number 46. The first two words begin with this day. Circle them. Highlight them. This day. This day of conflict. This day of battle. This day of defeatism. This day as you stand before me. This day of Goliath versus David, giant versus small. This day of what you think to be absolute defeat for us and victory for you. This day will the Lord deliver. I submit to you that the pandemic did not lessen the power of Jesus' name. And the victory of the Lord Jesus is for this day. Now is not the time for us to shrink back. Now is for the time for us to shine as light. Now is the time for us to understand the cause. Now is the time for us to go forward, taking the powerful name of Jesus, that name under heaven whereby no other men can be saved, and present it to the peoples of the world. Sufficient for their fear. That ultimate fear of death. The ultimate that he will bring eternal life. Surviving the severe criticism. Standing up. That's what happens to people that take a stand. David had a goal. Look, if you would please, in verse 46. At the end of it, he said that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. I would submit to you that David was needed back then to let all the earth know there was a God in Israel. And you're needed today to let the peoples know that there is a God in our hearts. The church has the responsibility to let the world know who Jesus is. To let the world know what Jesus can do. To let the world know the peace that Jesus is. We must be about our Father's business. You know, David had such confidence that he was going to beat Goliath because he had been proven prior. God had tested him. God had enabled him. I would be a little bit fearful to put a survey out there. But I wonder if we put a survey out among the church of the Lord today, not just our church, but all the churches, how much do we believe that our God is able to do anything? How much do we believe in the power of our God? How much do we believe in the name of our God? How confident are we in His ability to work this day? How confident are we to know that He is who the world needs? Would you please write down the next three statements and just meditate them all day long today? Please do not miss these three statements. If you're watching at home, would you please get these three statements? Would you put these three statements down somewhere? Number one, the nation didn't need a warrior. It needed a savior. There were plenty of warriors there. They didn't need a warrior. They needed a savior. Our nation has plenty of doctors. God knows our nation has plenty of politicians. Our nation doesn't need doctors, and more politicians. Our nation needs the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two. Only when God was brought into the problem was there a solution. Only when God was brought into the problem was there a solution. In the pandemic, many solutions have been put forth. Testing, distancing, tracing, vaccination, different things. The world will always have some type of solution to their problem. But church, it is only when God is brought into a problem will there ever be a solution. And as burdened as we are as for our nation, and as burdened as we are for the cause of Christ, it is not until the church brings Jesus into the situation where the world will ever know a solution. And you know the word of God, the world will reject him, but there are individuals that are out there with great need today, great pain, great fear, great anxiety. And they need the peace of the Prince of Peace. Statement number 3. Spiritual victory brought national blessing. Spiritual victory brought national blessing. The church needs to be reminded of this. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Righteousness exalteth the nation. Sin is a reproach. Church, the cause that David stood for, the love of his nation, the cause of righteousness, is a cause that we should stand for today. We should love our nation. We should be grateful for our nation. We should be broken for our nation. We should be weeping for our nation. We should be praying for our nation. And we should be witnessing Jesus to our nation. I would say to you and to every church out there, politics are important, but they are not the supreme importance of the church. The supreme importance to the church is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I would say that the cause of our God is worth standing. In this day, you're going to have to learn how to survive criticism. My pastor told me one time he was interviewing a bunch of teachers. He was going to hire them for work in the school. And the one little girl said, "I would love to work for you." She said, "There's two things I don't do well with, pressure and criticism." She didn't get the job. I would submit to you that if we're not careful, there's two things the church can't deal well with, pressure and criticism. And we're under both right now. It's time to stand up for Jesus. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, our nation as a whole may not understand, but on this earth, the greatest friend they have is outside of Jesus, is the church of Jesus. We love our fellow citizens. We love the peoples of our country. We love our nation. Today we remember the sacrifices given. We see our nation gripped by fear. And there's a cause. The cause is to let them know there's a God in heaven. There's a God of peace. To let them know there's a solution. And there's a Savior. It's not our job to necessarily worry about anything except being about our Father's business. And then as a church, we're concerned today about our God and the cause of Christ. That we forget not the power in the name of Jesus. That we forget not that He is a very real and present God in this day. And that's our responsibility to let all the world know that He's there. They didn't need a warrior. They needed a Savior. Our nation needs a Savior. Only when God was interjected into the problem was there a solution. That's true to any problem. Somebody might be here today with a problem or listen to me on the television with a problem. You want your problem fixed. Bring God into the solution. Spiritual victory brought about national blessing. Spiritual victory will bring about blessing into our homes, to our relationships, to every area of our life. There still is a cause. And the cause will not end until we're taken to be with the Lord. Oh, what a day that will be. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I thought about how I would do the invitation today, and I think this is the best way to do it. I'm going to ask you that are listening on the device, and I'm going to ask you that are seated in the pew, if you take a moment today and pray for our nation. Pray, and through your prayers, interject the Lord Jesus, the power of His name, the authority of His word, and the problem of our nation and problems of our nation. And present Him as the solution. Pray for our nation today. I'd ask you at home, husband, to get your family and do it. Mom, if you're the prayer person, do it. Sit on your couch, take a moment, pray. I'd ask the people that are here to take a moment and pray. And also pray that God would use us as the people of God for the cause of Christ. And then I'll come back and dismiss. Just a moment, if you would now, please. Thank you for our time today, Heavenly Father. May our eyes be open and our hearts stirred. And may we be about our Father's business. Bless us as a church. Bless us as we tell others about the gospel. Bless us in our own walks. May nothing be between us and you. We love you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I thought about our song to go home, and I thought we would go home with our country on our mind as our God has been preached in our hearts. You know it. My country, 'tis of thee. Stand if you would. Let's sing one verse. I'll wave to you in the back. Look forward to greeting you. See you Wednesday night.
God bless you all, and God bless America. You are dismissed.